I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
You know, I think one of the hardest things we talk about, but maybe one of the most important things we talk about is our veterans coming home, or our soldiers coming home from war, recognizing the toll that war does take on them, not only them, but the families as well. I think we've seen it. Maybe we've been a little bit reluctant to see it over the years. That has changed a lot. Korean War, the veteran, Vietnam War, the Afghanistan War, those things have brought to life the difficulties our veterans face and the challenges in returning from war. There's something going on, and it's been going on for a while here. It's come to Montana, and we want to talk about it today. It's called The Wall That Heals. It's impressive. It's a replica of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. It's a large replica, but it's not, though, that's very impressive. It's the healing that counts most. We talk about The Wall That Heals today on Voices of Montana. 2 decades strong and working on 3, getting right into this. As we mentioned, I've been kind of talking about it over the past couple of days, too. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial, it's a huge wall, obviously, in Washington, D.C. It was quite a while ago, and I think before the turn of the century, where they had this replica created, and man, oh, man, for 20-plus years, it has been traveling the country, and they call it The Wall That Heals. It has arrived in Kalispell, and it's the Montana's going to be the only place that's hosting it this season. The Glacier Park Veterans of Foreign Wars Post 2252 is proud to host this special exhibit. It's on display and it's open 24/7. We're going to talk about the logistics and the mechanics of the wall, but mostly too, it's about how it's important for us to recognize the necessity of that sort of healing. Let's welcome our guests here, and with great pleasure, Elaine Coots is the site manager for The Wall That Heals, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund out of Washington, D.C. And good morning, Elaine. How are you?
Good morning, Tom. Doing well. Doing very well here on site.
Are they treating you well up there?
Oh, yeah. It's been absolutely fantastic, and you can't ask for a better view here with The Wall That Heals.
I know. I bet. I spoke with him earlier, too, retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Les Kodlik. And good morning, Les. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Tom. I'm doing great. Thanks.
Yeah, and thank you for being here. I appreciate that. And it was sort of short notice. I think we were going to do this on Friday, but the wall opens today, and I really want to get that experience. It's a fresh experience. And Elaine, we'll start with you. Let's go to some of the festivities for today. You start at 10 o'clock with an opening ceremony. How important is that? Why do you mark this with an opening ceremony?
It's just really important for the community to kind of celebrate The Wall That Heals coming to the area. So we always encourage each site to have a opening or a welcoming ceremony just to kick off the whole week that we're here with it.
Les, and you noted, as we were just sort of talking offline, too, having the wall there on site, even as your folks are putting it together, it's already creating sort of an emotional stir, huh?
It certainly is. We had a wonderful group of volunteers yesterday at Glacier High School helping to assemble this 375-foot-long replica. And even as it was going up, people were reflecting. They have a fantastic mobile education center, so there's information about the war and information about those who served. And then after we had the wall up, noticed the number of veterans and family members who were, you know, reaching out and touching the wall, and you could just see them just taking a moment to themselves and remembering and mourning and honoring the 58,000 names that are on that wall. It's an incredible experience.
Yeah. Elaine, tell us more about this wall then, and the history behind it and you know, those relative experiences for people across the country.
Sure, absolutely. So, of course, we have the full-scale law in Washington, D.C., but we saw that in about 1996, we needed a need for those that can't come to the wall. We know that the Vietnam War had such an impact on our nation, not welcoming our veterans home with care and the compassion that we see nowadays. But so we started the Wall That Heals in 1996. Its first tour was in 1997, and we've continued that every year. So the Wall That Heals is a three-quarter scale replica. So our tallest point is 7.5 feet here, whereas the D.C. wall is 10 feet. But it's really incredible for those veterans to come out. And even the committee, when we finished building it, they're like, I just didn't realize how big this was. So it's lit up throughout the night, and it's 170 panels containing the number of 58,281 service members, both men and women, that died in the Vietnam War and gave that ultimate sacrifice.
And we want to talk more about that, too, because that's the importance behind it. Retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Les Kodlik. Les, as Elaine had noted, of course, you're serving on this committee, a member of the Glacier Park VFW Post 2252. Did you have a full grasp of how big this structure was?
Actually, it's just astounding every time I'm near the wall. I mean, yeah. I have two assignments in Washington, D.C., so I had the opportunity to see the actual memorial a number of times. Yeah. To bring it here to Kalispell is just extra special because, as Elaine said, it gives communities around the country an opportunity to see the wall that they otherwise might not be able to. And she's right. Once we got it assembled and you saw it, you know, at the soccer field from end to end, it's impressive.
And heavy? Were you hucking those panels around? How was that?
Well, Elaine, you should speak to this, but they strongly recommend that younger folks, you know, help assemble, you know, the wall. Particularly, some of the panels weigh upwards of 80 pounds. But Elaine, you've got much more experience with that than I do.
Yeah, use your knees, right? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We have panels that range anywhere from a few pounds, and one person can handle them. But we show each and every panel the honor and respect that they deserve. So they'd. Kalispell community came out and did an excellent job of showing that honor and respect for those panels.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and why don't we talk about that now, Les? Talk about the support, not only from your local post, but others. Of course, Montana, well known to have not only a lot of veterans, but a lot of very active and very patriotic veterans, I think.
Absolutely. You know, Tom, after 30 years in the military and 19 moves, we chose Montana and Kalispell as our forever home, and for good reason, because the community is just, the people are so wonderful and the community is so welcoming, and of course Montana as a whole is a patriotic state. And so, I mean, starting with the arrival, we had several hundred Patriot Riders. We had first responders from the Sheriff's Department, Kalispell Police Department, the Fire Department, Two-Bear Air Rescue was part of the escort when the wall arrived in town. I mean, just from the very first day, it's been incredible. And we've got more than 200 volunteers who have signed up for the events in terms of, you know, site safety, assembling the wall. I mean, they've just been incredible. And then, of course, our sponsors, you know, Clark Hyundai let us stage there. So, I mean, they had a parking lot full of motorcycles and vehicles and, of course, the tractor-trailer rig. And then you know, Glacier High School letting us use their property to stage the wall and have the event there. The response from the community and companies, it's heartwarming.
You know, and Elaine, that has to happen to how many communities on a yearly basis are you taking this wall to?
So we actually get over 100 applications each year, and we dwindle it down to anywhere from 30 to 35 communities. This year we are hitting 32 communities. That's... So Kalispell actually hosted our half-scale replica in 2017, and after that we upgraded our wall to the three-quarter scale. But every 5 years, communities that host it get that opportunity to get it again, and Kalispell came up, and their wonderful committee brought us in, and we're just honored and so happy to be here again.
You know, and let's talk about inviting people to this. We'll get into more of the logistics and also the necessity of it, too. But just it's going to be open 24 hours there at Glacier High School, the soccer field, right?
Correct. We've got the Veterans Dedication this morning where Major General Val Lee will be our guest speaker. In fact, that's in just over 30 minutes. And then, as Elaine said, the display, the exhibit is lit. So people can come at all hours of the day or night. And in fact, dusk and dawn with the, you know, the sunset and sunrise is a really neat time to see it just because of, you know, the whole atmosphere. And, you know, of course, with Montana's blue skies and mountains, it's majestic.
Elaine, and you're the site manager for the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund and the Wall That Heals. You must have experience, or at least you can relate maybe hopefully the experience of people seeing this wall for the first time, because you're right, not everybody can get to Washington, D.C. What do you think people are experiencing when they walk up to this wall for the first time?
Oh, it's absolutely incredible and emotional for so many of our veterans, and even those that were alive just during the Vietnam era. They come up to the wall and they usually say how flooded with emotion, basically how open those wounds still are and such. So we get a lot of tears at the wall, but as we keep reiterating, it's that healing for those veterans, those people that experience that time. And also the education piece, those younger generations that come out, they need to know where we've come from and where we're going. So it's so crucial to just all generations.
Les, if you have, and your experience there, sir, as well as an officer, a veteran, when you first saw the wall, and then maybe every successive time that you do see the wall.
You know, Tom, it's different for everybody.
Yeah.
For me personally, it's hard to describe. I mean, you want to reach out and touch it. You think about all the names on the wall. You think about their sacrifice. You think about the homecoming that they did not receive as compared to when I came back from Afghanistan. You know, my dad's experience was dramatically different than my homecoming. And so it's such an incredible opportunity. That's why the VFW Post is so proud to host this, working with Elaine and the national organization, because it's just an opportunity to heal, to remember some fallen friends, certainly families. Every time it's moving for me.
And I think that ought to be the experience as well. Elaine, why don't you – we'll take a break up here. Well, let's see. It's time now, but I'm going to hold off. I want to talk about the education piece here real quick, because I think, as Les had noted, that's a big part of the wall that heals.
It absolutely is. We actually took a survey in Washington, D.C. with the National Memorial, and – we found that more than half of the visitors, those 4 million people that visit the wall, were not alive during the Vietnam War. So it's so very important to basically educate our future generations on how those veterans were treated when they came home during the Vietnam War, and making sure we never treat our troops coming home in that manner again.
Elaine Kuntz is with us, again, site manager for the Wall That Heals. Also, retired U.S. Air Force Brigadier General Les Kodlick, a member of Glacier Park VFW Post 2252, hosting the Wall That Heals. We'll come back and talk more about why is it called the Wall That Heals today. From Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Let's get back to our discussion. Elaine Kuntz is with us, site manager for the Wall That Heals, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, out of Washington, D.C., and retired Air Force Brigadier General Les Kodlick, a member of Glacier Park VFW 2252. Elaine, and again, thank you guys both for being here. Just anything else about the logistics of this? So you're going to be in Kalispell. It's open now today, as a matter of fact, with the 10 a.m. ceremony through the 25th. But talk about then, this getting this wall to the next site, and what is this whole process as you kind of noted earlier on a yearly basis about getting the wall across the country?
Yeah, there's a lot of logistics that go into it. We have truck companies and truck drivers that volunteer their time and their fuel and their services to carry the wall that heals across the country. Our driver here is actually Jeff Wiebert, and he is absolutely fantastic. He's traveled with us for about a third of our tour already this year, but it's really nice to see those truck drivers get involved. And on Sunday at 2 p.m., we will start tearing down the wall, and it will move on to its next location in Meridian, Idaho. So it's just a fantastic way to get the wall that heals out there, and we're so appreciative of all of our truck drivers that volunteer to get us around.
Why is it the wall that heals?
It's the wall that heals because our veterans that returned from the Vietnam War were not treated very well. And it's one of the most divisive times in our history. There was the Tet Offensive in 1968 that took more than 40% of our casualties that are listed on the wall. And this is really the first war that's kind of streaming into your television sets. You had those three channels that you went between, and you were getting body counts in the morning, body counts at night. Walter Cronkite was reporting, and it caused a lot of protest at the time. So basically, those wounds are still open to this day, and having our veterans and having our youth come out and educate themselves about it, but also heal themselves as well.
I want to throw that question to you as well, and thank you, Elaine, for that. I very much appreciate that. Les, you probably have a perspective that's maybe unique to some.
Yes, it's absolutely appropriately named the Wall That Heals, because it was interesting to me that when it wasn't until I got back from Afghanistan that my father actually shared his experience in Vietnam, and he was shot down over North Vietnam. They were able to get the airplane as it was falling apart. They got over the Gulf of Tonkin, and the U.S. Navy picked him up. But, you know, it's the classic story of the box of medals and certificates and ribbons hidden in the back of the closet. And, you know, it was later. I mean, I was an adult. I was a combat veteran. And that's when my dad first told the story about his Distinguished Flying Cross, the Air Medals, the Purple Heart, how he went back after he recovered to finish his 100 missions over North Vietnam. It's both the wall and the VFW, for that matter, that gives veterans and families, quite frankly, the opportunity to talk about things, to be open and share common experiences. And through that discussion and through professional help, people heal and they move on, and they, you never forget those experiences. But you learn to manage and deal with it and live a happy and successful life. And that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that, too. And I think that experience is not necessarily unfamiliar to others. My family members who served in Korea and for the longest time would not talk about it. I think I shared that story here as well. Talk about how healing that was for both of you guys, Les. Did it open up successive conversations? Was then your father, this veteran, this wounded veteran out of Vietnam, did he have more conversations with others? How did opening up that box, so to speak, that's hidden away, help?
Yeah, it's funny. I chuckle a little bit because you're right. You know, starting then, we've had a number of subsequent conversations about our experience. And it was just this week, I was talking to my dad about how the wall that heals is coming to Kalispell. It's here now at Fisher High School. But he said, you know, it was when after we got shot down that I was floating down in the parachute into the open ocean. And he said, it was that point where I second-guessed my career choice. I'm like, Dad, really? At that point? So it becomes easier to talk about. It becomes cathartic. And to share it with people who understand. And that's what, you know, the VA provides those services. The VFW is always, looking for veterans in need, helping our veterans and family. The Wall That Heals gives that opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity. It's exciting for us to be a part of. And we're so glad for Elaine and her team to be here.
Yeah. Elaine, you may have some comments on that. I mean, is that experience unique, similar, familiar?
It actually radiates very close to me as well. My dad served in Vietnam, not in Vietnam country, but he served in Germany during the time. And even serving in Germany, he would not. I know I had school projects and I would ask him about his service and he wouldn't talk about it with me. Mm-hmm. But ever since I started traveling with the Wall That Heals and working with VVMF, he has opened up with some of those stories. So it's not even just our Vietnam in-country veterans. It's also our era as well.
I want to ask the tough question of you both, since again, it's very close, and I appreciate you sharing the personal feelings here. That's what helps, I think, everybody heal. How does a veteran, and I'm reading, and I've mentioned it, John Quigley's book about the Wolfhounds, and just that 1 year in theater in Vietnam, and the things that are written and done. It's very hard, I think, to compartmentalize that, Les. What's your perspective on that? How does a person go to war, experience those things, then come back and try to live through a normal life and a healthy family and that whole recovery process?
I would tell you it takes time, support, understanding. I didn't realize it, but when I got back from Afghanistan, I remember walking through the mall with my wife, and there was a noise, and I reacted. And I mean, this was 3 months after I returned. And you learned, and I didn't even realize that was happening, and my wife pointed it out. And that's, I would say that's fairly common. So, it's not healthy to box it in. It's actually helpful and therapeutic to be able to talk about it and deal with it instead of just boxing it up and trying to hide it and put it away, because that just doesn't work very well. It's that love, that support, that understanding, that education. All of that plays a role in people's ability to recover and to deal with the experiences that they've had.
Boy, again, I appreciate that. And I'm going to reiterate that as well, because I've known people, and I shared this with you, Les, Vietnam veterans. I was just a little young of course, I was born in 1960. But I have friends who come back from that war and made it back, and others who came back from that war, and eventually we recognized that they didn't make it back. I mean, it's real, real tough, and I think the secret was that support, Les. That family support. Elaine, we've got about a minute and a half here, but share those experiences or the other things that are going on, because I want to point people to this. It's The Wall That Heals, again, VVM. I got to look it over here, VVMF.org. But you've got a Wall of Faces, and we also have a PTSD Recognition Day upcoming too. Give us a little bit more on that.
Oh, yeah. We definitely have events all year round. Our Wall of Faces was an effort that we actually completed just last August to find a picture for every service member on our wall. and we finished that last August, and we actually have a display on site with the wall that heals that wow. features those service members on the wall. Their pictures run through on one of our displays. So it's just kind of putting a face to those names because it's so important to get those their stories, even though they were short and short-lived stories, out to the community. I was just going to say we also have our PTSD event. We also have our, which is a candle-laying event of teal candles at the wall in Washington, D.C., and our Agent Orange candle service is August 10th as well. So we keep those Vietnam veterans and all veterans at the forefront of that honor and respect in our mission.
Back with more in a bit.
Montana continues right after this.